This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The 14th running of The Amazing Race is complete. There will soon be a new American Idol. The survivors of Oceanic Flight 815 are marooned on an island somewhere in the Pacific Ocean again. And while we all watch reruns, Dr. Gregory House will spend the summer in a psychiatric clinic. On Grey's Anatomy tonight, Izzy Stevens battles cancer. Will she have surgery? What is George's bombshell announcement? Well, you're going to have to watch tonight to find out. Check your local listings. Yes, another TV season draws to a close amid astonishing revelations, cliffhangers, and the deaths of major characters, which provides us an annual opportunity to talk about the season just passed and ask, what makes a great season finale? Which of them surprised you? Now, come on, really. And which of those remaining do you look forward to? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later this hour, how the release of the Abu Ghraib photographs 5 years ago shapes the debate over another set of images of detainee abuse. But first, TV season finales. Two TV critics join us now from our bureau in New York, Troy Patterson of Slate.com. Troy, nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And Michael Auziello of Entertainment Weekly. And Michael, good of you to be with us as well.
Thanks for having me as well.
And Michael, the two-hour Lost season finale was last night. Are we any less confused?
I'm a little bit more confused, actually, and slightly frustrated, to be completely honest. I was hoping for more answers last night, and I didn't get them.
I tune into that show from time to time hoping for answers, and I never seem to get them.
Yeah, I mean, well, so much of this season was a setup, you know, to the final season. So I think a lot of it was frustrating this season because we weren't getting a lot of answers. We were just sort of getting a lot of exposition and, you know, introductions to new characters. And I personally was hoping that we would get some closure in the final episode, but it very much ended on a cliffhanger to be continued. So I'm hoping, you know, In next season, we'll get some answers in the early going.
Troy, I understand you're not a fan of Lost.
No, I'm not. Mostly it's that I'm attempting to avoid the frustrations that you two were just talking about. I resent being asked to watch every episode of a show without having even the foggiest idea of where it's heading.
I don't mind being asked to watch every episode. I mind being asked to take notes.
Yeah, that's the thing with Lost. You really need to take notes, and you really need to go online and follow religiously, like someone like Doc Jensen over at, you know, Entertainment Weekly, who's our Lost expert. And there are a lot of people that enjoy that and do that, and God knows Doc Jensen is fantastic and obsessed with the show and everything, but it's a commitment that I don't know that I'm willing to make.
Troy, you looking forward to Grey's Anatomy tonight?
Again, no. I sort of burned out on Grey's Anatomy a while ago. Although I did come to dislike this Izzy person, so if she
she dies of cancer,
away,
that's okay with
me.
You. I see. Or if one of her dear friends messes up the brain surgery.
Now, is it Izzy you dislike, or is it the drama surrounding Katherine Heigl?
Well, the drama is good entertainment in itself. No, it's the character who grates on the nerves.
Yeah.
All right. You are a fan, though, of Grey's Anatomy.
I am a fan, mostly, you know, because my readers are such huge fans of it. So it's almost an obligation of mine to follow the show. But for the most part, I do enjoy the show. You know, there was that whole sort of arc this season where Izzy was not only seeing her dead ex-boyfriend, but having sex with him, that strained credibility and sort of tested my commitment to the show. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is an entertaining show. And, you know, tonight's finale is going to be, it's going to be, you know, pretty eventful because I think we're going to get some solid answers about a lot of the questions that were sort of hanging out over our heads or everyone's heads this season. Specifically, is Katherine Heigl's character going to live and die? And what's going to happen with T.R. Knight's character, George? You know, there's been a lot of speculation that T.R. Knight wants off the show. He's frustrated with his lack of storyline. And we know that something pretty traumatic is going to happen to George tonight.
Well, there's been a spate of major characters on a lot of programs, who breathe their last, or at least apparently breathe their last on TV. You can never tell. But nevertheless, this has been a trend this year.
Yeah, a lot of characters, you know, because shows are facing budget crunches. You know, they're being forced to cut the budgets, and the easiest, fastest way to do that is to fire an expensive actor or get rid of an expensive actor. And, you know, there's also the added advantage of when you kill off a major character, you get a lot of buzz. The show, you know, gets a lot of attention. You get headlines. You know, people start talking about the show again. So it's kind of a win-win in many ways for the shows. But, yeah, we're seeing more characters dying this season, definitely, I think, because of the economy.
Let's get some callers on the line. We're talking with Troy Patterson of Slate.com and with Michael Oziello of the Entertainment Weekly. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. What makes a great season finale? Which were or are you looking forward to? Andy calling on the line from Cleveland.
Yeah, hi. I think for my wife and I, Fringe this season took the prize as far as the oh my God, did they just do that season finale. It's got, you know, the two towers, the twin towers in the foreground. We end up in a parallel dimension where 9/11 never happened, and it's one of those episodes that hit you in the last 10 seconds, and my wife and I were really debating it afterwards about, you know, just the visual power of the twin towers.
Can we all apply to move to that alternate reality?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say the Fringe finale, that final shot of the Twin Towers, it took me by surprise. And, you know, I'm in the business of spoilers. You know, I'm supposed to know everything that's going to happen on TV before it happens. And I'm, you know, tease my readers with it, let them give them a heads up of what's coming. I had no clue that final shot was coming. It blew me away. I thought it was really powerful, though. I thought there might have been more of a backlash, but I think because of how it was presented in the story and the context, I think it didn't get a lot of criticism.
Troy, just about as powerful as that image in the old movie of the hand from the Statue of Liberty, and you realize that Charlton Heston, well, he'd been on Earth all along.
Right. Except no one ever successfully blew up the Statue of Liberty. It's quite a provocative move, and it's far too early to say if it's an exploitative one, but you've got to admire the boldness of it, I suppose.
Andy, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to Loreline in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Loreline.
I had a one season comment and one question for your guests.
Go ahead.
My TV show favorite season finale was Chuck. It was hilarious. It was surprising. It was action packed. And the final scene, I think, was absolutely the best, where he turns and goes, "I know Kung Fu," and I just flashed to The Matrix and fell out. It was hilarious.
Okay.
And my question was for your guest. They mentioned how, you know, the budget cuts and whatnot. There's talk that Chuck won't be returning next season, and I was just wondering why, with the recession and people going to their TV sets for entertainment, why TV shows aren't doing that good.
Troy Patterson, is Chuck to be grounded?
I don't know. That Michael's going to have a better answer to that than I will. My understanding is that it's on the bubble. And one of those factors is that NBC is this incredible shrinking network. Because they've decided to give Jay Leno a show Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. next season. And, you know, on Saturday they run reruns. On Sunday in the fall there's football. There's just kind of 10 hours of entertainment programming, two of which are probably going to be The Biggest Loser. So that makes it a lot more difficult for, you know, new shows to get on the air, and for a show like Chuck, which has sort of a notable following but isn't a breakout hit, to stick around.
Michael, every once in a while those shows will migrate from network to network.
Yeah, I have faith that NBC will stick with Chuck, if for no other reason than the pressure on them to renew the show is tremendous. I mean, there is a huge fan movement right now going on to bring that show back. And, you know, NBC, you know, there are no a lot of positive headlines surrounding NBC. And the last thing they need right now, I think, is to cancel a show that, you know, so many people want to see back. So the latest I'm hearing is that Chuck We'll probably come back for 13 episodes instead of the traditional 21 episodes. So it's sort of a compromise. We'll bring it back. We're not going to give it a full season order, but we'll give it sort of a partial season order. I think in my gut that's ultimately what will happen.
Good news for you there, Loreline.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can get Claire in. Claire is calling from Jacksonville.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Claire.
I have to say that I love the season finale for Lost yesterday. I've been a full-time follower of Lost since the first season. And I have to disagree a little bit with your guest today that the one season where I did follow online religiously was the season I probably was the least happy.
Ah. And did you learn something important that contributed to your eagerness to come back when Lost returns in the fall?
Well, I love the whole Jacob and Locke thing that's going on right now. I know time travel is a very tricky little thing to deal with when it comes to TV and movies. But
and islands.
Very interested, yes. But I love what they're doing with it right now.
Michael, she disagrees. She did learn something.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as the Jacob thing, that was one of my favorite parts of the finale last night. You know, Jacob was a character that we've been waiting a long time to meet, and I felt like I wasn't disappointed when I finally met him. I thought he was just creepy and mysterious enough. And that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to next season is just to see. I mean, it looked like he died, but did he really die? Is he essentially God? There's so many questions surrounding him that we still haven't gotten an answer to.
And who is Locke?
And
right,
who?
Exactly. Who is Locke? That's a big question. I thought for a second there they were going to make us think he was Jacob.
Whoa. All right, Claire, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking with TV critics Michael Auziello of Entertainment Weekly. He writes the Auziello Files blog at EW.com. And Troy Patterson, who's a TV critic with Slate.com. Here's an email we got from Mark in San Rafael, California. The best season ender, Life on Mars, the original British version, well-executed and extremely satisfying. The worst, Life on Mars, the U.S. movie version, contrived, cheap, and undermining the whole series. I know their show was axed, but really, like a mustache on the Mona Lisa. What was your favorite series finale this year? What are you still looking forward to? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tonight, CSI, Bones and Grey's Anatomy wrap up their seasons. Prison Break tomorrow, and next week it's Desperate Housewives 24, Gossip Girl, and the list goes on and on. What makes a great season finale? Which surprised you so far? Which do you look forward to the most? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. We have two TV critics with us, Troy Patterson from Slate.com and Michael Auziello with Entertainment Weekly. And earlier this week on House, Dr. Gregory House is trying to kick his addiction to painkillers. His boss, Dr. Lisa Cuddy, who runs the Princeton Plainsboro Teaching Hospital, is trying to help him quit.
You're supposed to feel like crap. You're doing great.
And after?
You come back to work.
What if I can't?
Opioid dependency can make you think you have more pain than you really have. You're gonna be okay.
You're telling me what I want to hear, with no evidence.
I'm telling you what I believe to be the truth.
With no evidence.
You're hardly the most unbiased observer.
Neither are you. I'm your hospital's biggest asset.
And that's, of course, an excerpt from this week's season finale. Let's see if we can get Kevin on the line. Kevin with us from Warsaw, Indiana.
Hi.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'd just like to say that the season finale for House was a great breaking point for House, for the fact that even though that he can be as rude to help out everybody with his truthfulness, is at his own breaking point at the end of the season where he realized for himself that he needed the help.
And so this was a revelation from a character, I guess introspective is not a word you would often use with Dr. House.
Right.
Michael, did you like that
I did like it. I was surprised by it. You know, they pulled like a little bit of a Sixth Sense twist at the end. So much of what had been happening in the previous episodes turned out to be just all in House's head, specifically the fact that he had, you know, sex for the first time with Cuddy, his boss. So that it was surprising to me. But, you know, this has been building ever since, you know, Kuttner committed suicide.
To go work in the White House.
Right, exactly, to go work for Obama. It's sort of been a downward spiral for House. So I'm very curious to see how this stay in the psychiatric facility will change him next season.
Troy, lots of hallucinatory sex on TV this year.
Absolutely. Perhaps off-screen as well. yeah, the way that finale worked, in the next to last episode, they sort of pulled the rug out from under you, and then they shoved it back in, which is sort of necessary in a way. I mean, we hope that Dr. House finds some kind of peace in the nut house after his psychiatric treatment. But at the same time, if he emerges perfectly well adjusted and happy, then is there a show?
Yeah, I mean, and there's not only that show, but a whole rafts of shows that are seemingly now built around irascible leading characters.
Absolutely. I think that one of the most embarrassing had a short life on CBS called 11th Hour, which involved another kind of cranky, dyspeptic sort of medical professional. That one helped out the FBI. On Fox's Lie to Me, it's Tim Roth is this kind of Britishish, prickly, sort of intuitive genius.
And then there's that really cute but annoying guy on The Mentalist.
He is cute, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's who is it? It's Simon Baker,
Simon
right?
Simon Baker, yeah.
And The Mentalist is really the only new show that deserves to be called a hit, I think. Like, Fringe has gotten some pretty decent numbers, but The Mentalist is the only breakout hit. And I wonder if that's because it is a sort of cop show comfort food in a way.
Michael Osiello, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a procedural, and those do very well for CBS, and I think it just had all the ingredients. Simon Baker, it had sort of an interesting premise. I think all those things contributed to its success. And the interesting thing about Fringe is, you know, Mentalist doesn't have the luxury of coming after American Idol, and it's generating, you know, big numbers. Fringe, you know, some would say is a little bit of a disappointment considering, you know, it's got 25 million viewers, you know, being funneled into them. But Fringe is still a show that I'm rooting for. It already got renewed for a second season, so I'm hoping it's going to be around for a while.
Okay, Kevin, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. And while we mentioned The Mentalist as perhaps the one rookie show to break out into this past season, there's been, Troy, I know you're interested in this, one long-lasting show that somehow has emerged into a major hit over time and nobody notices it, NCIS.
Yeah, exactly. It's a show that in its sixth season sort of finally caught everyone's attention, or at least the attention of the national media. I think that's partly because it airs on CBS, which is the network with the oldest audience and with the sort of most middle American audience. But it's been sort of quietly building, and it's also a hit in cable reruns. And I think that what's appealing about the show is that this one's formulaic too, but it's a really elastic formula. So there are elements of the cop show and spy drama and office comedy and that helps keep things fresh.
And now we've got the spinoff coming next season. You know, definitely CBS is very well aware that they have a gem on their hands. They're launching the spinoff, which is a shoo-in to be picked up, you know, with Chris O'Donnell next season.
Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very interesting cast.
All right. Let's read some emails quickly. Phil in Muskegon. In comic book stories, the main villain never dies. That's why I was happy with the Heroes season finale. The heroes had a chance to kill the villain Siler, but instead decided to wipe his mind and have him think he is someone else. I can't wait till next season when he slowly realizes who he is and how he does so. Monica in Brighton, Massachusetts. All of the season finales I'm looking forward to are taking place tonight. The Office, My Name is Earl, and 30 Rock. My female friends and I have planned a party to watch the end of these shows, which we have been watching together for the whole season. When things are so difficult in the real world, there is something to be said for the shows that offer lighthearted humor. Honestly, I'm sad to see the season end, and I have no idea what I'm going to do now with my Thursday nights. And we've been talking about dramas, not so much on the comedies that are winding up their season finales, though they don't tend to have characters die off or suffer brain cancer.
No, but I can tell you The Office has a doozy of a surprise in store tonight that I don't think anyone is going to see coming.
Really?
Yeah, big one. Everyone's going to be talking about it tomorrow, trust me.
Can you give us a hint?
Can I give you a hint? Actually, I don't even want to give a hint about this one because it's a cool surprise, and I wouldn't want to even risk ruining it for anyone. I'll tell you after.
Okay. Oh, darn you. Natalie's on the line from Portland, Oregon. Do you want a hint?
Well, you know what, and I think Michael knows, us Office fanatics have our whole spoiler world, and I think what's so great about the show is that the Office writers are able to grasp what their key audience is thinking and then completely pull the rug out from under them. I think specifically with Michael, I know in the season premiere you let out a spoiler beforehand that sort of prepared all of us for what we thought was coming. And I think for now, for the season finale, most of us on the message boards have a certain idea of what we think is going to happen, but we're not expecting anything based on last season's season finale when we totally had the rug pulled from under us when we thought they were going to get engaged and it just didn't even happen and instead happened to another couple.
Huh. So she's going on, she says she's lowering her expectations, Michael.
Well, I think with a show like The Office, you should prepare yourself for the unexpected. I think that's a smart way to go in because they are consistently defying expectations when it comes to twists.
Natalie, I'm sorry.
Can I throw out Michael there just in case what I think the hint is, and then you can not respond if you'd like to?
Okay.
You could throw it out. I'm not going to respond either way.
Okay.
He will neither confirm nor deny.
Right.
Thank you. I think the general hint we're all going for is one of the key couples, when I say couple, there's really only one couple there, ends up getting pregnant. But I'll leave that for no response.
Oh, well, you know, a pregnancy in a season finale, what an original idea.
Shocking.
Yes. Maybe a wedding next year. Natalie, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's see. There are, of course, other kinds of programs on television, too. The inaugural season of The Real Housewives of New York came to a close, and surprise, Bethany and Kelly, two of them, are still fighting, and they can't seem to get along.
There's an underlying tension that has started way before. I've met you probably like 10 different times. Every time that I've seen you somewhere, it's been like you don't know me or that you've met me for the first time and or just don't acknowledge me. And to me, that's like very just hurtful and disrespectful. And
if I see you, I've always said, hello, how are you? Just because I don't have the time to like talk to you for more than a couple seconds.
No, you haven't said hello,
how are
you?
I say hello to you all the time. I'm not going to go into this because I'm not.
Troy, I have to admit, I'm not following this program, but from the ads I've seen, don't they end up moving to New Jersey next year?
No. That's a whole different set of...
Oh,
No, there are four versions of The Real Housewives now, and these housewives can be found in Orange County, here in New York, as well as in New Jersey and Atlanta.
Atlanta, Real Housewives in Atlanta as well. Are these shows prospering because they are relatively cheap to produce, or are they prospering because they're really good TV?
Well, you've got the word good takes on a special sense here. They're not sort of ennobling or enlightening, but they're really juicy. And, you know, there aren't really any primetime soap operas on network television. So we turn to cable, and I'm ashamed that I can't get enough of it.
And so these could be described as spectacular peaks in the Himalaya of guilty pleasures?
That's well put.
Okay. All right. I like that. Here's an email we have from Jerry in Charlotte, North Carolina. I really enjoyed the Dollhouse season finale. It's a show that hasn't gotten a lot of attention this season, but it is the most original new show I've seen this season. Every episode gets better and better. Here's hoping that it's coming back for a second season. This, of course, Joss Whedon's new program, Michael Oziello. Is there going to be a second season of Dollhouse?
They're working on a deal right now, surprisingly. I mean, the ratings were terrible. The reception critically was lukewarm. Yet, you know, they're working out a deal to try to bring it back if the numbers can be sort of figured out. Because right now they want to bring it back for cheaper than what it costs right now. But it's an expensive show to make. So I think Joss Whedon is trying to decide whether he can make the show for the amount of money that, you know, Fox would like him to make it for.
And here's an email from Pam in Woodstock, Virginia. Breaking Bad, the previews show body bags, people in hazmat suits, and a burned teddy bear at Walter's house. Who's dead? Will Walter keep cooking meth now that he's not immediately dying? Will Skyler sleep with her boss? Best show on TV right now. And again, Troy Patterson, I can't say I've watched it, but I've heard a lot of people say they love this show.
Isn't it great? It's kind of like there's a little bit of Coen Brothers flavor in its sort of vision of it. The West and desperation and loneliness. Check it out. Do you watch it?
I don't. Michael, do you watch it?
I have 9 episodes on my DVR at home. I loved the first season. I'm way behind on the second season. So please, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
Although
you're
one
to say that.
You're
one to say that.
Ironic, isn't it?
Ironic. Oh, it drips with it. We're talking with Michael Oziello of Entertainment Weekly and Troy Patterson of Slate.com. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Brian on the line. Brian with us from Kansas City.
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm actually a truck driver, so I don't get a whole lot of time to watch television, and nor do I take the time. But my wife got me involved with Grey's Anatomy, and I have to admit, I am now addicted. I live for DVR, thank gosh. But you were talking about Lost, and I've tried on several occasions to get involved with Lost. It really is. It's a very time-consuming show. I don't know if I don't have the attention or what, but it just seems the acting seems good, the plot seems good, but it just if you don't see every episode, I feel lost,
so to speak.
But I'm very excited about Grey's Anatomy. I do like Izzy. I think George is a great actor, but it seems like we may lose 2 tonight. So,
Michael, can you drop any hints about what you're not going to tell Brian?
I think, well, I can tell you that there's one character, you know, who will, the episode will end in, it will not look very good for this character.
Will we end the 2 hours tonight in tears?
Yes, I think it's very fair to say that there will be some sobbing going on in living rooms across the country.
Okay. Tears of laughter by any chance?
Tears of, perhaps.
Brian, thanks very much for the call. Drive safely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Barry. Barry's on the road in Missouri.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a trucker, too. First-time caller.
Oh, thanks for that.
I was calling about it was a season finale and also a series finale, Battlestar Galactica.
Now, that I did watch, and I thought that was pretty terrific.
Which I always love the show because it's one of those few shows that every season was better than the previous one.
And Troy Patterson, it was a show that continually surprised.
And I don't even know how to begin to explain that. I think it's partly that it's inventively written, partly that it's a very rich text. There are a lot of ways to read it as sort of a political parable or, a story about what it is to be human or and so on. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I think it got a little too rich toward the end, took it itself a little bit too seriously. The thing I loved about Battlestar Galactica in the early seasons was its sense of fun and suspense, and it was scary. I felt like the last 2 seasons, it was so heavy in the mythology that it just became dull to me.
It did get a little ponderous, I suppose. In my view, it coasted along on goodwill.
Well, a lot of goodwill.
One of the things I wanted to ask is, because I saw the which I realized after I saw it, why it went straight to DVD, the pilot for Caprica.
That was the Battlestar spinoff.
Yes, I mean it seemed like from what because I ordered it off of iTunes, and reviews on there have been very positive. Have y'all heard anything about when it's going to be picked up by the Sci-Fi Network?
Is it going to be picked up, Michael? Do you know?
I believe it has been picked up, and I don't know exactly when it's going to air, perhaps this fall. I'll have to double check, but it's been picked up. They tried something different this time by launching it on DVD, the 2-hour movie.
When you see the first scene of the scene of it, you know why they sent it to DVD, because it's very graphic in the first like 3 minutes of it. Has nudity and stuff, so you know, you understand why they put it on DVD.
All right, Barry, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Well, I did have one more question.
I'm afraid we're out of time, Barry.
Well, it's just about Kings, if they heard whether or not that's going to be canceled on NBC.
Kings has been canceled, yeah. They're running the episodes on Saturday night, I think 13 episodes. So you'll see all 13, but it will not be coming back.
Barry, thanks again, and you drive carefully, too. Finally, this email from Sherry in Cleveland. I love Chuck's final episode. He knows Kung Fu now. I also love Dollhouse. Hope it comes back next year. Looking forward to Hell's Kitchen tonight. Go Paula. Loved Lie to Me last night. Can you also tell I don't have a life? Ha ha, she says. Michael Oziello and Troy Patterson, thank you both very much for your time today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we'll address images of a much different sort, that debate over whether or not to release photographs of detainee abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we'll look at what happened last time. What was the effect of those pictures from Abu Ghraib? It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.